fighting for freedom every day. Broadcasting from the heartland of America.
The next generation in conservative talk radio.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. What's up? Welcome into it. It is the Voice of Reason. I am Andy Hoosier. Hey, so great to have you for another day in paradise on a post-Monday celebration. Greatest day of the entire week. And yes, I say that every single day. Totally all right, because, well, it is. We are just carpe dienisms all over the place, which is what we do here on the program day in and day out. Welcome into it. This is the Voice of Reason. I am Andy Hoosier, broadcasting out of the heart of the nation here in Wichita, Kansas, our great flagship radio station, KQAM, Wichita's Big Talker, but we are on multiple radio stations all over the place, and TV, and live streaming and podcasting, however you watch or listen to the show. Welcome aboard your Millennial General reporting for duty like we do every single day. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about today. I have a lot of audio that we're going to play and try and play, or at least play as much of it as we can. Karen Strawn will be joining us on the show. It's been a while since we've had her on. She is a male rights advocate. I know, kind of a weird one, right?
Say what?
Yeah, a men's rights advocate. She'll be joining us as she talks about some new curriculum going on at UCLA. And no, it's not how to hate on the nation of Israel because of the ongoing protests. But there's a new, apparently a new policy for those going into medical school where you have to take a health equity class. I don't quite know what health equity classes actually mean. Doesn't make a whole lot. It's not registering in my brain on what that actually is. So we'll talk with her about that and so much more. She also has a latest blog on herself, deep dive research into mRNA vaccines. And are they actually as safe and effective as what we're being told? Because now it seems like most vaccines on the market are being moved to this mRNA technology. So we'll talk with her and a heck of a lot more about that in just a little bit. I want to start off the program today with just the mind-numbing, condescending, derogatory remarks that we hear from the other side of the aisle. And I know that's nothing new because obviously they say ridiculous things about Donald Trump day in and day out. Every Republican's part of the extremist group. Every Republican's like clinging onto their guns and Bibles. They always try to label us, obviously, and they've taken it to another dialing up the notch to 11, where if Republicans gain control, then we're obviously going to throw black people into internment camps. We're going to put women back in the kitchen and make them plop out babies and never be allowed to have any type of women's health issues whatsoever, which to them is abortion. So these are the ridiculous things that they try to tell us in the fear of politics in today's times of 2024. But when it comes to identity politics in particular, as you know, the Democrat Party has a history of saying some not so nice things about minority groups while they say that they represent these minority groups.
Andy, what do you mean?
Well, I just want to play something for you here. This is from Democrat Governor of the state of New York, Kathy Hochul, where she's made the comment about how they apparently need to, I don't know, reinvest in public education, or they need to reach out further to inner city communities or something, because apparently young black kids in New York City are really, really stupid and unintelligent and not up with the times. That's not according to me. That's according to the Democrat governor of New York.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things. And I want the world open up to all of them, because when you have their diverse voices innovating solutions through technology, then you're really addressing society's broader challenges.
All right, there it is. So apparently young black kids in inner city New York in the Bronx don't even know what the word computer is. They've never seen a computer in their entire life. No, this is not a flashback to 1995 when computers were starting to be a thing in public schools. I remember that. I mean, that was, remember, I'm 35. I was the last generation that actually saw growing up without computer screens in our face the entire time. That's now evolved to now having computer screens of multiple different types in my face the entire day, the entire time. But our childhood, I was the last generation of childhood that didn't have that in our face. We actually had to go outside. We had to entertain ourselves. My daughter, a couple of days ago during the weekend, she made the comment to me. She goes, "I'm bored." And I hate that word, because if you're bored, then that obviously means that you need a chore to do, right? Because, and it was because her tablet, her like iPad was charging, and we were on the TV doing something, and we weren't giving her all the attention at that moment, so she was bored. And I said, you have books to read, you have a backyard to go play in, you have things to go do, and if you don't know how to entertain yourself, then I have plenty of chores that you can actually go and keep yourself entertained with. So she obviously went and found something very entertaining to go and do. What that was, I don't really know at that time. But we've forgotten how to entertain ourselves at that point. Point is, my generation was the last one that did not have those computer screens at our fingertips all the time. And it's kind of insane now because we're not in 1995. We're in 2024 where there's a computer everywhere. And I mean, I don't live in New York. I'm not sure exactly what percentage of their entire state budget goes towards public education, but I'm assuming, could be totally wrong here, but I'm assuming that public education is on the higher end of the list for what their priorities of spending are at a statewide level. How do I know that? Because every other state spends a vast amount. Even in a red state like Kansas, where I hail from, 60% of our entire state budget goes towards public education alone between K-12 and higher education in the state. Oh, yeah. If you remember the state of Illinois, they literally went bankrupt because public education and their pension plans were 100% of their entire state budget. And they still complained that Chicago public schools didn't have enough money to actually survive. So these derogatory remarks are nothing new because we've had Democrats before. Remember voter ID? Well, black people in the inner cities are too poor and too stupid to know how to afford a $20 state ID. They can't afford to go and get their state issued ID in order to register to vote properly. Therefore, voter registration is racist because these people are too poor or they don't know how to do it because they're too stupid to figure it out. The condescending, racist, derogatory remarks that are made by Democrats for a very long time. And again, this is the party that claims they're the party of them, that have created an entire social program and construct for people that they believe have been misfortunate, that they're victims of society. And I'm not just talking about African-American populations, obviously. They're talking with Asian populations or Hispanic populations or Native American populations. Or the poor white people, we don't give a crap because you're just privileged for being white. So we don't care about you. But we've created, as a society, this entire structure of a social program that's bankrupting the nation right now based on these different identities of politics that they feel are victims of society because they're too poor and stupid. And it continues on in 2024 when we have a governor say that the children of the Bronx don't even know the word computer and what they actually mean. That's insane to me. And that's very offensive to me. And I would assume very offensive to people that are people of color that would be under her jurisdiction and under that umbrella. Now, that continues to be the case when they see the minority demographics working in their way out of the Democrat Party. They're leaving the Democrat Party, registering as Republicans, or just walking away from politics altogether and not voting Democrat, which is why their margins continue to narrow. And you see them, again, hit the panic button trying to figure out why. Why exactly we're seeing so many people walk away from the Democrat Party, including the blacks, including the women, including the Hispanics, including everybody else under the sun, because their policies just aren't working. So you get comments like we heard from The View earlier today, where they essentially said that that's why there's only one black senator in the Republican Party, which is Tim Scott, and he's the worst person on the face of the earth. Which, by the way, he commented to Sean Hannity about last night on Fox News.
My goodness gracious. Let me just be plain and simple. Without the black vote, there is no Democrat Party. And since I was elected in 2010 to Congress, before that, no black Republicans, Sean. Since then, we've had seven. But there's better news. President Trump's policies has led to a surge of black Republicans from the city level to the county level to the state level and in Congress. But it's even more important than that. We're seeing black city council members. We're seeing black assembly members all across this nation. There is a wave of black elected officials who happen to be Republicans, but the black vote is following 40% of black men. It's doubling the number of black women looking at our party. Why? Because we were better off under President Trump. And we need four more years. And I will tell you, it's the end of the Democrat Party as we know it today, Sean.
That could very well be. And if that's the case, then applaud yourself, my friends. It's winning. It's working. Yeah. And it's been a long time in the works, but it's moving in the right direction. People are beginning to wake up. That light bulb aha moment's beginning to happen for people, minority communities and women, everybody else all under the sun saying, wait a second, the policies just aren't working under Joe Biden, under the Democrats, and we're going to move. And it's largely because Donald Trump finally did what no other Republican has done in a very long time. And you know what that was? Talk to them. Reach out to the community. Hey, I want to hold a rally in the area that's predominantly an African-American community. I want to hold a rally that's predominantly Cuban. I want to hold a rally that's predominantly Hispanic. I want to go to where these, and I want to talk to them. And what did he say in the last election? What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? You've been voting Democrat this forever, for this long. It hasn't worked out. You're still in the same boat. You're probably worse off than what you were before. What do you have to lose? Let's go ahead and try it. Vote for Republicans. And then when he was in office and we saw better gas prices, better food prices, the economy was growing. We had opportunities. More kids were in school. More businesses were being started. More hires were happening and employees. And no, I'm not counting the 15 million jobs that Joe Biden created. Sorry. When we talk about actual economic growth, we talk about not just laying people off, then hiring them back and be like, oh, look, job growth. We're talking about actual real growth in the GDP, which we're finally getting back to almost normal. If the COVID-19 pandemic had never happened, we're still kind of lagging a little bit. But we have some work to do, and it all happened under the Trump administration.
That's right. Donald Trump did that.
So while The View can try to attack Tim Scott for being a horrible guy, and the reason, by the way, they were attacking him was because he apparently spoke at Mar-a-Lago as one of the potential vice presidential candidates under Donald Trump, and they're losing their minds on how obviously, the Republicans are using the Uncle Tom messaging, trying to reach out to the only black person to try and show that we're a diverse place, which is hysterical because if you remember, I don't know, the last two presidential elections, we had a extremely diverse crowd running for president, from women to Hispanics to blacks to everybody else. And then the Democrats literally had a whole bunch of old white guys that were running. And the one that was different, like, I don't know, Tulsi Gabbard, they ended up booing off the stage and running her out of the Democrat Party because they didn't like her very much. So tell me which side likes to play the Uncle Tom card and using the token black person, so to speak, to try and represent what they do, as opposed to people that have great ideas. Tim Scott's a wonderful conservative. Obviously, he didn't have the charisma to run for president, but he's a wonderful personality. He's a solid conservative guy. He's an insanely smart guy, and I think would be a great presidential candidate if Donald Trump chose to pick him, because kind of like how Mike Pence was, he would be the perfect contrast with Donald Trump's craziness. We'll just put it that, not in a bad way, but the Donald Trump that we know. And then Tim Scott's, that's very centered, very focused, very calm, very collected kind of guy that I think could kind of balance him out, just like Mike Pence was before Mike Pence kind of turned his back on Donald Trump towards the end. The racism, the derogatoriness, the condescendingness from the Democrats, whether it's in identity politics or whether it's from the elitism of, oh, the poor white people that vote for Trump don't have college degrees and drive a truck or a farmer. Anybody can put a seed in the ground and watch it grow. Another word from Democrats in the city of New York, thinking they know more about agriculture than farmers do across the nation. They haven't changed. And you can see their demise as people are walking away every single day. And it's kind of fun to watch.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, we are. Welcome back into it. 24 minutes past the hour. Radio, TV, live streaming, and podcasting. Doing it every single day and doing it.
Doing live.
Like we do every day here as well. Find us on social media at Hoosier Reason, H-O-O-S-E-R Reason, and our website at HoosierReason.com. So we have the condescending remarks from the Democrat Party, people upset. And then Donald Trump, the first Republican, like Donald Trump or not, within the Republican Party. Obviously, there's the holdouts of the never Trumpers. But from a campaign tactic, and again, you have to look behind the scenes if you've been involved in politics in a long time, if you've been active in politics at all, if you've campaigned or helped people campaign before, you have to understand how the behind the scenes work. And unfortunately, everybody does it. The demographics, the slightly leaning Republican, slightly leaning Democrat, predominantly Republican or assuming Republican or registered GOP or whatnot, that we never really step outside of our lanes. It's always get out the vote, but we never go and reach out to new voters to try and get them registered. Democrats get them registered because that's just what they do. Let's just register everybody. That way we overwhelm the system with registrations, and then we don't look and see if whether they're viable registrations. Are they legal to vote? Do they have a felony that they're not allowed to vote in some places? Are they illegal because they're just an illegal alien here? Maybe they've already registered, but they tried to register a second time. They don't care. They just do all of that. Republicans, they predominantly just try to get out the vote and just make Republicans turn out on their own. But who's reaching out to the independent? Who's reaching out to the unaffiliated? Who's reaching out to the libertarian? Because I've said many times on this program, and I still make it one of my missions on this program, to try and bring libertarians back into the fold, try and bring them back into the conversation, trying to bring them back into the Republican Party, which is very difficult. And I understand evil two-party system, don't like it. Totally understand that. I get it. At the same time, let's bring you back in and let's oust the rhino establishment Republicans and actually have libertarians and conservatives working together on 90% of the issues, on limited government, individual sovereignty, free market enterprise systems, capitalism again, and allow people to live their lives. Then we can kind of discuss and bicker about the social issues on how we want to approach them. But they overwhelmingly are more aligned with conservatives than they are progressives. And we have to win libertarians back over. Who's reaching out to them? Who's reaching out to them and trying to get them involved and saying, hey, let's work together because an enemy of an enemy is my friend. And that's what we have to recognize again. Who's doing it? Oh, that's right.
That's right. Donald Trump did that.
Well, I don't know if you're aware or not. Donald Trump is going to be speaking at the Libertarian Convention later on this month. Is it, what is it, the 21st, 22nd, whatever it is, 24th and 25th. But the Libertarian Convention that happens, for the first time, a major political candidate, presidential candidate, will be speaking at the Libertarian Convention. Donald J. Trump making his appearance and speaking, trying to win over the libertarian crowd. And my friends, holy cow. Now we'll see the response there, but can you imagine? This is huge. This is bigly, if you know what I mean.
And I think we're going to make it bigly.
This is a major step where Donald Trump, the only guy that said, let's reach out to the black communities in the inner cities and try and hold rallies. The only guy that reached out and said, what have you got to lose? You've been voting Democrat for the last 50, 60 years. Try something different. The only guy now that's saying, let's reach out to the libertarians. And let's find a way to actually work with them because we need them to get on board here. We already have our Republican base. He's such a wide name that he has the opportunity to do it. Republicans either love him or they hate him. You don't have to campaign to Republicans all the time because we already know what you stand for. We already know what the options are. It's either you or Joe Biden. We already know that option. You're going to get the Never Trumper holdouts that are like, he's the most evil person on the face of the earth and I'd rather have a Democrat destroy the police than Trump. You have that crowd. And then you have the rest of the Republican Party that either loves him or is like, yeah, he's still better than the other guy. You have those crowd. And then you have the libertarians. Let's win them over. Can he do it? I don't know. RFK Jr., by the way, is also speaking at the Libertarian Party and has made a post on the Tweety saying that he has offered to debate Donald Trump in a healthy, fashionable debate, saying that for the first time we could actually have a debate from two of the, out of the three, quote-unquote, major candidates in the race. Will it happen? Probably not, but it's a nice offer.
The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. When reason meets radio, this is The Voice of Reason. With Andy Hoosier.
Hey, John Wright of Biz. Welcome back into it. Radio, TV, live streaming, and podcasting. Trying to cram that 10 pounds of reason into that 5-pound bag. Trying to rebrand the millennial generation. One radio listener at a time all over the place. By the way, hope you enjoyed the newsletter that came out on Monday, yesterday. It's out now. So if you missed it, then you're kind of, you know, stuck for this week. But you can always Sign up again for next month as well at HoosierReason.com. Become a Hoosierholic. Just a once a month email. We'll send you a welcome. Then we'll send you a once a month email on there with, you know, whatever, our blog and all the great information, links to all our great partners, and a heck of a lot more. Want to tell you about my friends over at Patriot Mobile as well. As you know, there's a lot of woke companies out there. Disney lost almost $700 million in their last couple of movies they've tried to release that are going down the woke path, if you know what I mean. And almost a billion. Can you imagine? Almost $1 billion that you've lost because you're too big to fail now and that you have an agenda you want to drive home, even if you continue to lose money. They haven't done their course correction as of yet, but they have to, I guess, at some point if they continue down that road. But so far, they're not doing it. But there's bigger woke companies as well, with even cell phone companies, which is kind of unfortunate for sure. But you can do something about it. Patriot Mobile gives you an opportunity to still have the great service that you already have using the 4G and 5G towers around your area, using some of the same providers on that. However, you're supporting a company that gives to conservative organizations and fights for the same values that you have each and every day. Here's what you can do. Go to patriotmobile.com/reason, R-E-A-S-O-N. Super easy. Hoosier Reason. You can go to HoosierReason.com as well. We have the link, but go to PatriotMobile.com/reason and you can get your free activation under my code. You can also get great discounts if you have a large family and you have multiple lines, if you're a first responder, if you're a military veteran, and so much more. They're loving to get everybody here because that way they can donate to some of the great organizations that you and I support together, including Turning Point USA, First Liberty, the Susan B. Anthony List, the NRA, Folds of Honor, Students for Life of America, and so many more. Last year alone, they donated more than $1.5 million to conservative causes, and they're looking to double that by the end of this year, and you can do that with your help. So here's the great part. You have your phone line. You can support and just do your daily business and not support a big woke company that some of these major carriers for cell phones. Go to patriotmobile.com/reason. Again, patriotmobile.com/reason to get your free activation and special codes from right here with The Voice of Reason. All right, we're waiting on Karen Strawn to join us here, so we'll get her on momentarily. I wanted to introduce her segment, though, with a story, which I know you've heard, and it's unfortunate, it's stupid, but it's not really that new, and I don't know why the media is going after it now. But according to Fox News and the latest in what's trending,
what's trending today?
The Boy Scouts of America have apparently changed their name now because they want to be more inclusive. They want to be more open, want to be more diverse, and I don't know how much more diverse you can be, but they're changing their name from the Boy Scouts of America to just Scouting America. According to the rebranding, it will go into effect in February of next year for the celebration of the 115th anniversary of the organization, where they will now become known as the Scouting America. According to the officials, they say the name change aims at making everyone feel welcome, while the move is also being seen as an attempt to move on from bankruptcy following the flood of sexual abuse claims. Let me get this straight. The Boy Scouts of America, which I was a Boy Scout, I almost went into the Eagle Scout program, but I was a Boy Scout and I worked my way through it. My parents were Scout Masters for a short amount of time as well, and doing some of the camping and learning some of the life surviving skills, learning to just be a guy and do what we do was an amazing thing. And I always highly recommended the Boy Scouts because that's what you got to learn. And it was wonderful. I've spoken at some Boy Scout clubs here in the state of Kansas a few times over the years. Really cool. I love the organization, or at least I did love the organization. The one thing that I never was very good at was tying the knots, though. I can never remember knots, and I still can't. I don't remember how to do it. The rabbit goes around the tree and down the hole. It took me a while to learn how to tie my shoes, which is why I'm sure so many kids use slip-ons nowadays and like the stupid like skater shoes, as opposed to actually tying their shoes and bootstraps. But nonetheless, I remembered that one. I have a hard time memorizing any of the other ones. Square knots are about the only thing that I know. Nonetheless, they had great values, and the whole purpose of the Boy Scouts was to teach values and morals to kids. It wasn't just about survival. Anybody that remembers going through the Boy Scout program, you know that it was about learning morals. It was about learning values. It was about telling the truth. It was about doing good deeds. It was about being a good member of the community. It was about helping others. It was about trying to find your inner strength and trying to find ways to cope with certain issues. The Boy Scouts had so many great values. And while they try to hold on to them, they're changing them to Scouting America because, number one, they've gone through the sexual harassment. So it's kind of like the, not to make fun of Catholics, but the whole priesthood thing with all the sexual abuse cases that came out against the altar boys. It's kind of like that scenario. Let's take a whole bunch of boys out in the woods and go camping with them and let's see how well this works out. And if that was the charge and if that was the threat, then imagine what we're going to see now with a bunch of other genders of girls that are trying to join the Boy Scouts or the transgender ones that are trying to join the Boy Scouts. And you're telling me that that's not going to enhance some of the shenanigans that go on camping trips with the Scoutmasters? If there's girls involved, that's why specifically it was the Boy Scouts, because girls were not allowed. And now I know that that's a very offensive thing. People get very upset with that. I'm terribly sorry. How dare you have a group that girls aren't allowed? We need to do the whatever. But now they're trying to change this, and I'm really glad that I don't have a son because, I mean, there's other organizations out there. We've talked to them on the program throughout the years, but I'm really glad that I don't have to go through that ridiculousness because I enjoy what the Boy Scouts had to teach before, and now they're under threats to be more inclusive, be more diverse, and then try and get away from some of those sexual abuse claims. And the Girl Scouts are no better, unfortunately. The Girl Scouts are the same ones where they've hailed some of the great women in history, like, I don't know, Margaret Sanger, that started Planned Parenthood and was a member of the KKK. So I don't know that they're necessarily the best organization either. Although I will say there's a conspiracy theory that the Girl Scouts are nothing more than a club that tried to just sell cookies because that's that it's just a large corporation trying to use Girl Scouts in order to sell their cookies. We sold popcorn, if you remember. The Boy Scouts, they sold the popcorn. What a wild time, right? The changing of the Boy Scouts. So if we can get Karen on the program, we'll chat with her about that a little bit later. But it falls into the whole derogatory remarks from earlier that we talked about with Tim Scott and the progressives that talk about the racism, talk about the derogatory comments, the condescending comments that they make about us, because it's bled into these youth organizations now. They've corrupted them. They've destroyed them. And they've changed them. And soon, unfortunately, I don't know that there's going to be a sanctuary or a safe haven for young kids to learn great values as a club. There's very few clubs anymore, and the clubs that are there either get labeled as evil and horrible, or they get corrupted. I guess one for adults is like Masonic Lodges, the Masons. That's, you know, kind of a guys-only club. They have female versions of them, but they get labeled as, you know, the conspiracy theories and the Illuminati and Satanists and so on and so forth. None of it's true, but they always lump that stuff in because how dare, it's a club that we don't know what they're about, so we're going to demonize them, which is kind of crazy. The Boy Scouts, exclusively for boys. Girl Scouts, exclusively for girls. We need to corrupt them so that way we can blend them and get rid of them. Where else can you go where boys and girls can actually get values? Well, Andy, the family. Okay, but the family's broken now. And in fact, as we talk about Bidenomics, for example, and how bad the economy really is, that we look at the push right now is how many people can be in the workforce. Which is good. We want people in the workforce. We want people working. We want people contributing to society. But at the same time, that also includes people that could potentially, if the economy and if inflation wasn't so bad, have only one person working with somebody actually staying at home. And I know, again, triggering the progressives. Right? How dare you try to make somebody stay at home and be the homemaker? How dare you try to have that lifestyle? But if people want to stay home, the guy or the gal, if they want to stay home, then they should have that ability to do so. That would go against job numbers. But right now we're pushing us. Let's try to see how many jobs people can take and how many jobs that each family member is able to do. So that way we continue to split the family and make sure they're focused on work and bringing in income and not taking care of the kids. So now we have children that can't go to organizations, that have very little opportunity to go and do something as extracurricular that's going to be productive for them. Now I'm talking, you know, in generalizations here. There's obviously local organizations, local community things going on in your areas that always try to keep kids off the streets, which is good, and we need more of that. But at the end of the day, the family values are what need to be taught. And they can only be taught by the family themselves, which is now near impossible to do when both parents are working two jobs trying to keep up with the economy just to pay the bills, or clubs and organizations that are specifically intended to do that, which was things like the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts. But instead, we have this condescending elitism right now from the Ivy League schools and these professors and these politicians that look down on this, that want to corrupt it, and then try to blame us because we're not there to take care of the kids. And then they talk about crime rates. And then they talk about these poor black people that are too dumb and stupid to buy state IDs. And they talk about these poor black kids that don't have opportunities and don't even know what computers are. Can you imagine again in 2024 that we have people that try to say that someone doesn't know what a computer is, or even the word computer on what that means? If that's the case, then the entire education system has failed that we're spending billions upon billions upon billions of dollars in individual states like the state of New York as well, massive amounts of money going into education, and they're openly admitting their system's failing, and they're expecting us to turn our kids over to them more? They're expecting us to, well, the Boy Scouts are corrupt. We're going to go and do these extracurriculars after school. We're going to turn them over more to them? I don't think that's the way to do it. I don't trust them. And obviously, it's not working. Your mission has failed. Your agenda, your program, your system that you've created on all across the board has failed, and we're seeing that fall right before our eyes. It's a wild time to live, right? One more segment coming up. Stay here.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Darn right it is. Welcome back into it. Last segment of the program. Oh, how it flies right on by. Even when we don't have our guests with us, there's still so much to talk about, so little time to do it. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media. I'm working to be more active on the social media. It's hard, obviously, with, you know, normal things to do throughout the day, like a job. You know, but trying to be a little more active on social media the best I can. So stay tuned in. You can find all of our social media at Hoosier Reason, H-O-O-S-E-R, Reason, on any of your favorite social media sites. So we have a Republican Party that is at least, well, somebody, Donald Trump, trying to widen the umbrella a little bit, trying to reach out to new people, trying to win them over, because really the parties are already set. The Democrats already vote Democrat. They think Republicans are evil. Republicans vote Republican, except for the few that seem like, well, I'm Republican, but Democrats have better ideas because I don't like Republicans, but I'm still a registered Republican. We call them rhinos. We call them wishy-washy. We call them hacks. We call them traitors. Well, whatever you got to call them. Andy, you're so mean name-calling. Well, we're just labeling it. You can't say a Republican and then vote against Republican values. That doesn't work. I'm a moderate. Okay, what does moderate actually mean? Can we have these conversations? Because we seem to not have these conversations anymore. Donald Trump widening that umbrella, talking to communities that never get Republican messages really at all. The latest coming with the Libertarian Convention coming up at the end of this month, trying to win over libertarians, which is good because right now we're still bickering amongst ourselves as Republicans that we need to find ways to actually bring more into the fold. In Washington, D.C. right now, in the latest in what's trending.
What's trending today?
We have the ongoing battle between Marjorie Taylor Greene and Speaker Mike Johnson, where it sounds like maybe, just maybe, as of earlier today, we could see this cool off a little bit, where MTJ said that she's going to be holding off on the ousting of Mike Johnson, as she has had roughly 3 to 4 hours of closed-door meetings with him over the past couple days, where she says that she thinks that he's going to be, quote-unquote, acting as a Republican speaker.
We've had discussions in the speaker's office, and right now the ball is in Mike Johnson's court. He understands that he's going to be our Republican speaker of the House. The things that we've discussed about that got leaked out to the press are very simple, and they serve the American people. They serve the people that gave us the majority, and we're interested to see his actions, not his words.
But what is the time frame here?
That's up to Mike Johnson, and it can't drag out. These are things that have to be done. He's already delivered Joe Biden's agenda. He's delivered everything that Chuck Schumer's asked. If he's capable of doing that with a majority of Republicans controlling the House, I think he's extremely capable about doing the things.
So that was according to her social media post about a press briefing that she had earlier today, saying that she's going to be holding off and letting him do what he needs to do and actually act as a Republican, which I agree. Look, and again, you can hate on Marjorie Taylor Greene. I know some other talk show hosts have been mad. We need to unify. Obviously, Donald Trump's been calling to unify. We have to unify. But there's also needs to be the conscience, the Jiminy Cricket, the thorn in the side of some Republican members reminding them, hey, if you're not voting as a conservative and doing what you were intended to do as an elected official of a Republican Party, which is why we had, even though it may be slim, why we had a Republican majority in the House of Representatives, was to do Republican things, not to work on the other side of the aisle, not to try and compromise our values to let them get what they want, not to find the middle of the road compromise. No, it's to do Republican conservative things. And if you're not going to do that, then why did you even get voted in as a Republican? Because that's what Republican voters wanted. And you have to have that Jiminy Cricket conscience sitting on your shoulder, whispering to you, reminding you of that. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is that right now to Mike Johnson. And I think that's needed. Mike Johnson, where he was a solid conservative as a House member, and she even admitted that, came in and was trying to figure out a way to balance out everybody from both sides of the aisle and maybe compromised a little bit too much and maybe just needed that reminder. And I'm hoping that that's the case. Now, at the end of the day, there's a one vote majority of Republicans right now, and there are many Republicans that vote predominantly with Democrats, hence the comment that we just made previous. But that means that very little is going to get done at all as we get ready to recess for summertime and we go into hardcore campaign mode anyways. So I'm guessing, this could just be me speculating, but I'm guessing the conversation was, hold off on this because it's not going to do any good anyways. We're not going to get anything done for the next few months anyways. So what does it really matter if you try to oust him where that could cause more chaos? Sit back, hang tight, and let's ride through the election. Then we'll deal with it then. That would be my guess. And I hope that's the case. She also mentioned the fact that she has been having a private phone call with Donald Trump, who's probably trying to rein her in a little bit too, which would make sense. But Marjorie Taylor Greene trying to hold that front for reminding them of how to vote conservative and pushing back against progressive agendas instead of working across the aisle. And I say that in air quotes because we know that's really not the case. That does it for us today. Back at it again tomorrow. Until then, be your own voice of reason. Be that catalyst for change. Let's get ready for election season. This is the Voice of Reason. I'm Andy Hoosier. We'll see you on the radio.